It is the Wednesday edition. The Charles Robinson, Uncle Charles, as he's called at our house, scheduled to appear edition. The Uncle Homer, scheduled to appear edition. It's an Uncle Uncle Day. And the, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. What's David Bakhtiari talking about exactly when it comes to his pal Aaron Rodgers? Has he been listening to Craig Karmazin edition of Wildy and Tausch? A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. And, of course, WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. And alongside Jesse Nelson in the ESPN Madison studios. I don't know if he strutted in to the same acclaim as I saw on social media that Matt Hamilton did as he arrived recently.
You can be assured I didn't.
After a seventh place finish at the World Championships.
Was there eight teams?
There were six. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I am not going to strut in. If I did, I would do the Conor McGregor, though. That's the easiest one where you just kind of let your arms flail. That would be the way I would strut, but that's not my MO.
What is the Conor McGregor? Can you do that?
No, I'm not going to do it again. I already did, and I think we're on video. I don't know if we're on video. I think we're still testing. But I listened to there it is. I thought you'd show me on the little deal. I heard something this morning that I thought was absurd. And that Jesse Nelson, I want to save this topic, but I want to just broach it. Because it's ludicrous to me. I like Bo Ryan. I've had fun with Bo Ryan. He is a very engaging, bubbly guy. Gabe and Chewy were ranking coaches because Craig Counsell, all-time winningest manager in Brewers history, and now the all-time managed games. So his longevity. So they're trying to figure out where to put him in the pantheon of coaching. And both of those guys put Bo Ryan ahead of Barry Alvarez. And
what?
Jesse's like, yeah, I think I kind of see that. He played the championship.
Is that how Jesse sounds?
It's literally
like
verbatim what he said. Well, he played the championship. That's what he did. Played the championship.
Was I eating a peanut butter sandwich when I was talking to you?
I don't know if I want to pull this today. I think this is a full show. And then Jesse and Tier 1 have some topics that I want to hit on off of this. So I'm going to do the rare thing in sports talk, a 2 or 3 day tease. I know
what?
We're supposed to go urgency. There's too much Packers stuff today with D-Bach and with Charles Robinson coming up. I just found that to be absurd. And am I crazy to think that's absurd?
It's absurd.
Let me tell you something. We have... five right now ESPN Wisconsin teammates, and three of them are on Bo Ryan's side. This isn't, people from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, or wherever Bo's from.
Chesta.
This is the heart of Wisconsin, people that love Wisconsin sports, and they're putting Bo ahead of Barry.
If you want a title, yeah.
Boy, I'm won on three or four at Platteville. That was the argument that one Platteville alum had to say.
Right. You have to appreciate where the...
Bo is great. Listen, yeah,
no
Bo's
doubt.
In the top 10.
No doubt.
Barry, I had Barry as 2 or 3 on that list after Vince. He's ahead of Al McGuire.
Is he ahead of Mike Holmgren?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Is Mike Holmgren ahead of Bo Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I agree. Bo Ryan is in the top 6 or 7. Bo Ryan's ahead of Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
You've got Barry Alvarez ahead of Mike Holmgren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting the championship that Barry Alvarez won?
Hey, you knucklehead. If there was a four-game playoff, we are in two college football playoffs, 98 and 99. We're in both. Then you don't know. So to try and compare it now, this whole idea that if you don't win a championship, you stink. Yeah. Barry Alvarez took a barren wasteland along with Pat Richter and turned it into, I just saw the budgeting in the State Journal, a $200 million operation and one of the blue bloods. So don't give me this all, well, he didn't even win a championship. We got two. The only team to ever win back-to-back Rose Bowls when the Rose Bowl meant something. And Bo, yes, he got to Final Fours, and Bo did a great job. This is the problem with this industry,
in my
opinion.
You're not bashing Bo.
But you're bashing Barry by putting him behind Bo. And I'm not going to stand for that. All right.
Oh, you're sitting. I would agree with everything you said. I thought we all agreed on this show, Jesse, that when you build something from nothing, or in Badger football's case, below nothing, like there wasn't even the foundation at that point. Like it was.
No, you had a rotted, moldy house.
Yeah, it was nothing.
You talk to Eirik and Stacy about it. They ain't selling that house. You're getting that on foreclosure.
No, they're raising it.
No, that's a foreclosure deal.
So, Bo Ryan, absolutely great coach. But Badger basketball wasn't what it was in, like, the Steve Yoder era when he took charge.
Jesse, you, Gabe, Chewy, no offense to y'all, I don't think you lived it. And I don't think it's like Don Hudson, the argument. You guys are all too young, even though Chewy's older than I am, to understand the impact that Barry Alvarez had. I think that gets lost in history. That's why it's important to document things and to have it so that people like you can look back and say, well, I was wrong. Yeah, I guess I just didn't realize. Oh, I didn't win a championship. You know what? Bo didn't win one in the Division I level either. Okay.
All right, so since we're saving this for a few days from now, but now we've talked about it today.
Yeah, I want to save it, but it just bothered me. It bothered me.
Clearly, there's no doubt it did, and rightfully so. Now,
I kind of want to poll it, though. Can we do ranked voting where it's Holmgren, Bo, Barry, and who's the other person on the list? Mike? Big Mike?
Yeah.
Very, very, very frustrating.
So we're putting Vince Lombardi one, and then the competition is for two.
Yeah, Vince, anybody that wants to argue that Vince Lombardi isn't the greatest coach is just, I don't have time for that conversation.
Does Al McGuire?
That's the Craig Cartone of that I'm out. I will go get a coffee and come back if you want to have that
argument. What if Budenholzer wins a second chip?
He probably climbs that ladder. He's still not ahead of Barry, in my opinion.
He's already ahead
biased?
Of Barry.
No, he's not ahead of Barry. It's just not true. Giannis is ahead of Ron Dane. Okay? Giannis is ahead of everybody. Giannis is a Mount Rushmoreian already without winning another championship. All right, let's move to Packer stuff.
Glad we're saving this for later in the week.
Well, because it's very interesting. I really was fascinated.
I agree with you.
I was fascinated by what Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, 7 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee. I was fascinated. I literally had to, like, no, they didn't say that. No. And then they said it again. I said, what? No. And then
right.
Jesse comes in and goes, oh,
all right.
With a championship.
All right. So we can move on. First of all, I would like to publicly welcome back Bill Johnson into the ESPN Wisconsin fold. He is at our Beaver Dam station. He's a legend in Beaver Dam. He's also listening to the program and texting us. And as much as I love Bill and I'm happy to have him as a teammate again, he's got Bo Ryan ahead of Barry, and he's got Al McGuire number two. So I don't know what's going on over there.
Chip.
Al McGuire, I don't know enough about. So I am going to plead ignorant on the...
Bill's older than both of us, so he's got more history knowledge.
He has pelts on the wall. That matters. No argument that matters. But I don't know where Marquette was at before that. He deserves a ton of credit, and he will be in the mix. He's not in Vince Lombardi's mix. He's in the mix for the 2-3-4 spot. I can't argue that because, as Homer points out all the time, it's 1977 championship. Great year, 1977. But is
1970 NIT title too?
Well,
let's put a bow on this, and I don't mean Bo Ryan. Al McGuire or Bo Ryan higher in your ranking?
We got to go Al because he's got the pelts.
Correct.
Oh, now pelts matter.
Yeah.
So. Our official position.
Interesting. Maybe I am just too biased because I really appreciate Coach Alvarez. Maybe I can listen. I'm not going to ever change my mind on this, but I can at least admit that there are other points of view that I need to listen to. But the idea that no pelt, no, there was what Barry Alvarez did for this whole state, but the university.
And the athletic department, that was awash in red ink.
We had back-to-back. Back then, the Rose Bowls was a championship, people.
All right, here's the list. 5, Bo Ryan. 4, Mike Holmgren. 3, Al McGuire. 2, Barry Alvarez. 1, Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to. I think people are going to push back on Barry at 2 a lot more than I thought.
They can do that. We're going to push into a discussion about David Bakhtiari and what he's saying on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast.
Oh, that guy. What was that guy saying about that football team? What was he saying?
I don't know, but he was referring to the Packers in a way
that
sounded like he didn't play for the Packers, which was weird.
I had to listen to it a few times. I obviously didn't watch the whole podcast, but it was a very interesting and, I thought, pretty telling conversation.
Speaking of telling conversations, I've had a lot of great conversations over the years with you and with Gina Della about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yes, it's because Gina is the best, and so is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and their lineup is stacked. It's more stacked than the Brewers or the Tampa Bay Rays, because leading off is their innovative and award-winning easy slide horizontal windows that reveal tons of natural light and unobstructed views. And next up in the order, Pella's premium roll screens like magic. Zip! The screen rolls out of sight when you close that window. And on deck is Pella's Reserve Series patio door. Like a great utility player, they can be placed anywhere on the field with custom sizes and colors. You can get 0% for 48 months when you order by April 30th at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
David Bakhtiari, what are you doing here? Or at least what are you talking about when it comes to your BFF, Aaron Rodgers? If you didn't see this, we will play some of it and discuss it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Level to which I enjoy REO Speedwagon.
Should have came when they played AmFam.
I have seen them many times. When I've been backstage,
really
when I met Kevin Cronin.
Up front. We were right up front.
Yeah. But would I have been backstage? Could I have shook Kevin Cronin's hand?
If you're watching the show, you don't want to be backstage. You want to be up front.
Well, I've
you
seen look them
at
a lot.
Tail?
They're one of the first concerts I went to.
Okay, great.
So, you know, 40 years later.
You think they're washed?
I've seen them a lot, both in their prime and later past their prime.
So, do you think they are washed more from their voice standpoint? You don't care if they're dancing.
No, so I would say, and again, I say this with all affinity for them, I like them.
Yeah, but you think they're washed.
No, they're old. They're old dudes.
Jesse.
They're in like their 60s and 70s.
Yeah, you think they're washed.
I think that it's hard to maintain. Like, I've never seen Bruce Springsteen in concert, but it would appear that at, and he's what, 68? He apparently has, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's got no problems with energy. I would say watching REO Speedwagon, they need to kind of tell stories to buy time to catch their breath to do another song.
So you think they're washed?
I think they're old. And someday we'll be old too.
You think David Bakhtiari is washed?
I don't, but I think he's weird. I don't, or at least this interview was weird. I don't get it. So, Jesse, help me understand what this is, because I'm not a Barstool guy.
You think I am?
You seem like a Barstool guy. Yeah.
Wow. That might be the most hurtful thing I've ever heard.
That's
you say
fair.
About
I would like to immediately revoke that. You're not a Barstool guy either, but they are very popular.
They are.
A lot of people that like what they do. And Will Compton.
I have friends who are Barstool people. I have no idea what Bussin' with the Boys is. So I've heard the expression. I don't know what the actual podcast is.
Bussin' means you're rolling, right?
Right, like you're bussin'. Yeah.
So Will Compton is an NFL linebacker, special team. One of Rich Bisaccia's guys. And David Bakhtiari appeared on this podcast and... Some of the things he says, Tausch, he sounds like he's talking as if he's not a member of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it was almost as he past tensed it. And I mean, we give Jesse grief and fans grief when they say we as a Packer fan.
Right.
You're on the team.
He is a we.
When you are on the team and you're being paid handsomely, not even being paid handsomely, let's just say you're making the minimum. I've never heard someone, I can only speak for myself. I would never say they unless I'm talking about an opposing team. I thought that was really odd. I don't know why he was doing that, but it was definitely noticeable when he was continued to say they are rebuilding, or I don't even remember what it was, but it was more than one time. One time you could say, oh, he slipped up.
Yeah.
I don't think this was a slip-up.
All right, so here he is. There were two things that were weird about this. One, the way he referred to the Packers as they. Two, he's espousing the same idea as Craig Karmazin that we started the week with me playing the audio of me arguing with our founder and CEO about the idea of taking Aaron Rodgers and keeping him at $58.3 million of that option bonus and not playing him. Here is David Bakhtiari on Barstool.
The Packers are rebuilding, whether you think so or not. Could they be good? I don't know. Could they be bad? Probably if you're betting, more people are going to think they're going to be bad than good. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fair to say? So then they'll be like, well, we're going to suck anyways. We want what we want, and we're not going to bend anyone, so we'll just eat it. If we're going to do it our way, it's going to be on our terms. If not, were we going to be Super Bowl contenders anyway? So we'll eat it. You can hang on the side, pay your money, and then we'll suck anyways, get the picks. As compared to dealing him something that you shouldn't have, you could potentially look like an idiot to not only president and the board, but everyone else around the league. Put yourself on the hot seat. I look at all these like ways you can deal it. I don't think it'd get that contentious. I do think they'll probably come to an agreement. He'll get traded. They'll get what they want. And then time will probably say whether it was who won what. But I'm saying there, I do think that it could be a third option.
There were like seven or eight they or theirs in there.
Yeah. And I feel fairly confident that the Packers aren't interested in their left tackle talking about rebuilding. I feel very confident, even though I think we all assume and understand. I don't think that's your messaging.
You're on the team!
Yeah, we just paid you $15 million up front again to keep you for another year. I don't understand. If the Packers are rebuilding, and
which they clearly appear to be.
They're moving Aaron Rodgers, which seems to be, until it's done, it's not done. Why they decided to pay David another year? I don't even think he had to take a pay cut. I think
they converted his base salary and a roster bonus to a signing bonus so they could spread out the cap charge over subsequent years. But yeah, $15 million, when you get it as a signing bonus, that means literally you sign your name and you get the direct deposit.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting because, you know, Balaga and City are very tight with David. And they've co-hosted with us. They've been on. And, you know, between me, City, and Balaga, we all thought there's no way he's coming back. He's been injured. They paid him a ton of money, especially if Aaron Rodgers was leaving. So I see what the Packers are thinking. They're going young. I don't understand that move because David has had a really hard time staying healthy. He's not able to practice the way they want him to. I don't think, and it feels very clear to me listening to him on Barstool yesterday, he ain't interested in no rebuild. And this was the thing I kept telling you and other people is when you go young and you go with a young quarterback and you have hopes that they're going to be a really good player, like the Packers hope Jordan Love is, veteran players aren't real interested in that, especially one that knows his time is coming to an end. I just wonder where D-Box's mind is going to be outside of, you know, I just want to make sure I get my bag this year. Like, I just don't know. I don't know where his head's going to be at as far as, you know, 17 games a long time. It gets harder to finish seasons as you get older. And especially the amount of trauma that he's went on that left knee with all of the surgeries he's had to do, the mental fatigue to keep getting off the mat. And I give him monster kudos for what he did last year.
No doubt.
I thought last year would have been, you know, he didn't start off right away. It was obviously there was some mental things along with the physical,
you know,
worn out. And he got off the mat and finished the season. You know, he had the appendicitis. He deserves a lot of credit for finishing the season and grinding the way he did. Kudos. David has been a fantastic football
totally
player
agree.
When he's healthy. But listening to that, does that sound like somebody that is really wanting to play and win a ton of games with this team?
No.
It just felt like there was a monster disconnect. And that's why I just was curious from the Packers standpoint. You're cutting salary. You're taking a big – he mentioned they'd take a $60 million – whatever the cap hit is with Rodgers this year, they're okay with. I would think they'd be okay taking that on with D-Box rather than just take the hit because you're trying to move on. But you want that left tackle to help your young quarterback. I just don't know what his availability is going to be.
Yeah, I was more – look, first of all, again, I don't believe – in any way, that this team is going to keep Aaron Rodgers, not pay him a king's ransom and not play him. I don't believe that. I don't see that as viable. We argued about that, Craig and I, on Sunday. We talked about it on Monday. If you missed it, you can hear that discussion. It got 7,000-plus votes on the poll. You can hear that whole discussion on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All. Thanks to David and his team for his support of the show and, of course, for the support of Wisconsin On Demand.
So, obviously, Carmi, the way he was talking, it was pretty similar to what David Bakhtiari is talking. I wonder, not that there's anything coming down, not that, I mean, Craig's just thinking about this big picture. David Bakhtiari knows a heck of a lot. He's obviously worked his deal. He understands where he's at. I'm sure the Packers have been very upfront with him that this is probably going to be his last season in Green Bay.
I believe that is true, and that's why he talked the way he did.
I believe that, too. I think there is, and we heard this with Josh Sitton when he didn't get his deal. It's a really easy thing for people on the outside to say, just be a pro. How are you going to feel, Wildy, if Craig Carmison comes to you and says, hey, finish this football season off strong, but then once the Packers season is over, Rob Domofsky's coming in to take over. Are you going to be really vested in what you're doing?
Nope, I'm not going to be.
We're paying you.
Yep.
Yeah, all of that's fair, but to think that you can take human emotion out of things?
You can't.
You can't.
No.
Micah Hyde. Micah, we're not going to re-sign you. To his credit, he played his tail off.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys want to still get paid. When you're at the end, there's just a lot of things that I'm sure are going on in David's mind, and a lot of them aren't good when you're talking about team leadership and everything else. Now, when you get in there and you're going to work, I don't think for a question David's not going to work and do his deal. But no.
He's going to be an independent contractor
exactly.
who blocks the way he's supposed to block and little
are
more.
You invested the same when you know that your time is limited? Most people, if you ask most people to play that scenario, what I just told you, most people are going to say, all right, I'm going to finish this, but am I going to do all the little things and the extra things that it takes to be great? The special ones can do it. David is a special player. But that sounded to me very, I'm here and you're over there, not we are in this together. That's what that sounded like to me.
Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who has been all over these trade talks between the Jets and the Packers that David Bakhtiari thinks might never materialize or finish, and Aaron Rodgers might be on the team and not playing. Him and Craig Carmazin, they can get together at the next Bucks playoff game and discuss this further.
Who keeps the golf cart in this whole deal? Does Rodgers get to take that to New York?
It's a great question.
Paint it? Like, I hope the Bussin' with the Boys asked. Those are the questions I want to know the answers
to. Well, you'll have to listen to the entirety of their podcast. Let me know what they said, would you?
Joshy, big cat, tell me what happened.
Charles Robinson is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Stand in the Aaron Rodgers trade, and how will the stalemate be broken? Look, all due respect to Craig Carton, which I don't know him at all. But there are two people that have been on top of this more than anybody else, including me. From the Rodgers camp, our friend Trey Wingo, who clearly has been in the know early on in this process. And when it comes to these trade talks, it's been this guy. From Yahoo Sports, and also known as Sydney's godfather, Uncle Charles, Charles Robinson, on Wildy and Tausch. Charles, good morning, buddy. How are you?
What's going on, brother? How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Jason, does Charles do like the godfather? The godfather.
Never go against the family.
None of that, or is that part of it?
Well, I will say this. The last time Charles came to visit, we were verbally accosted by another motorist.
That did happen. That's right.
And he was prepared to exit the vehicle and take care of this fellow if it came to that. So that was unexpected. He loves our girls, and he's an amazing uncle. And he's a fantastic reporter, too. Someone please help me, Charles. What are we doing here? We've got David Bakhtiari going on a podcast on Barstool. First of all, referring to the Packers as they. Second of all, suggesting that, they can bring Aaron Rodgers back, just pay him and not play him. What are we doing here, man?
Yeah, it's really, we having fun yet with this thing?
No.
Oh, man. It's at a ridiculous standstill. Maybe I shouldn't say ridiculous. I guess it depends on what your vantage is, but the Packers are holding out for what they want right now, and that's a problem, I think, with the Jets, and more specifically, I think, with Jets ownership. And where it is, Green Bay is stuck on an asking price of a 2 this year, a straight shot 1 next year, so no graduation schedule attached to it, and they would be willing to do the 2025, some sort of a draft asset give back if, for some reason, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in 2024. And the Jets and Woody Johnson specifically, they're just not going to do it. And that's why this is sort of sitting where it is. And I guess you could say that the quote-unquote ball, we're gonna do that whole thing, whose court is the ball in? I guess it's in the Jets' court, but the problem with that is that for the Jets, it's a standstill. When the owner says, nah, we're not doing the straight shot one. And I think what Woody Johnson's problem is with this is that he looks at Denver, all the assets that Denver gave up, you know, thinking that they're going to bring Russell Wilson and this guy turn a key and everything's going to go great. And now Seattle's sitting on Denver's pick at number five because it just crashed and burned. I think there's also some of the Matt Stafford thing. Hey, now, you know, got the bulky elbow and everything fell apart for the Rams and suddenly Detroit's sitting on six. And so I think Woody Johnson says, look, we're willing to do something with a second round pick next year. So it'd be two twos. But there's got to be some element of graduation that is attached to it. So, and
let me interrupt you just briefly. And I hate to do this because I get interrupted all the time on this show.
What?
But it has felt like that part of the Packers' strategy has been, oh, well, Woody Johnson, you know, a 75-year-old, slightly flaky owner is going to get impatient and just say, just give him the one and be done with it. You're actually saying that he's not on board with giving up the one. Like, that's significant when I hear you say that, is it not?
Yeah, it's not the, and even early on, I think I had it in reverse where I thought Woody's the one pushing here. That's not the case. It's not just being left up to the general managers here. And as a matter of fact, I think in a way this is sort of where the Packers are a little bit of a disadvantage, because I tend to think when high level talks like this get to this kind of a standstill, you get two owners who just talk to each other. Let's work this out. Let's figure it out. And the thing is, Woody doesn't have an owner to call and be like, okay, you know, here's what my stance is. Here's what your stance is. We got to kick it upstairs from the GM perspective. And so that's where, I mean, I don't know if Woody and Mark Murphy can have a conversation. I don't think Woody and you know, Goody are going to have a conversation. I can put it to you like that. I think this is what happened was, you know, they had sort of trade parameters worked out. And then when Aaron went on Pat McAfee and said that I'm 90% retired, I was 90% retired when I went into the darkness retreat, I think it scared Woody. You know, I think that was one of those things that scared him. And then from the broader perspective, he continues to look at these other teams that made big moves and were promised things by their general managers. Hey, this is going to put us over the top. We're going to be in contention immediately as soon as, you know, again, going back to Denver, as soon as Russ walks through the door, we're going to be in contention. And then it completely went in the opposite direction. So I think that gives him a little bit of nervousness. And by the way, it doesn't help that the Jets know, like everyone else, next year you got two quarterbacks at the top of the draft that are going to be, you know, everybody you talk to that's involved in basically scouting right now or personnel will tell you that those guys are, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May are going to be superstars. And I think that's part of the nightmare scenario in Woody's mind is, what if this ends up being a super high pick and all of a sudden it's not ours because catastrophe happened in 2023. We didn't protect ourselves.
Charles, before the Packers gave permission for the entire Jets brain trust to fly out there, were there not talks of what it was going to take to get Aaron? And is that changed, or was it just, you guys go out there and then we'll figure it out? What were the parameters?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There were. I think from my understanding, I think it would have been a 3 and a 1. I think it could have been a 3 this year and a 1 next year straight up. And I think at that time, the thought process was, again, the Jets were looking at it as like a 2-year window. Aaron's going to come in, he's going to play 2 years. And it wasn't until... again, the whole McAfee show and the darkness retreat statement about the 90% were all of a sudden that I think that spooked Woody. I really do. And suddenly he was like, hey, if this is just a 1-year window, we're not giving up. I'm paraphrasing here, but my understanding, like Woody's entire stance on it was, we're not giving up a 1 for this. We're not giving up a 1 for what might be a 1-year window here and another asset on top of it, whether that's a 3 or 2 or whatever. And, so I do. I think there were pretty extensive talks that kind of whittled it down into that zone. right around the time of that visit. So it wasn't like the two parties were going into it blind. They felt pretty close. And then things just changed, you know, when all of a sudden Woody's like, wait a minute, we might not even have this guy for a year. And, you know, if we give up a one, what if something goes wrong in 2023 and we have no protection? And suddenly we don't have Aaron Rodgers. We don't have a pick in the next draft. And potentially we don't have any resolution at quarterback going into 2024.
So, Charles, I've been giving Jason this little thing, and I wanted to see, because you know a heck of a lot about what's going on. What about the pick swap? What if the Packers swap 15 to 13 and then also 45 to 43 with the Jets giving up 42? Wouldn't that be something that maybe that could be the bridge to get this thing over the top?
I think a pick swap's been discussed, the 13-15. I don't know. I don't know about the second round, but I it's my understanding that there have been a number of different approaches into this, and that 13-15 swapping is one. But again, this is, I think it's where it is right now because the Packers are absolutely stuck on this. We got to get the first straight up next year. Nothing put on that. We need your first next year. And it's just not happening. The Jets aren't going to give up a straight up first. And here's the thing about the Jets too. I know a lot of people think, well, there's no plan B there for the Jets. That's just not the case. I mean, look, the Titans are shopping Ryan Tannehill all over the place right now. I think it wouldn't take the Jets anything to acquire Ryan Tannehill. So if for some reason, you know, Goody just digs in, Mark Murphy, they dig in and they're like, nope, forget it. We're going to hold Aaron Rodgers hostage at this point. We don't care about getting two second-rounders and potentially a second-rounder and a first-rounder, whatever. I think at some point, yeah, could the Jets just be like, you know what, forget this. Like, let's just move on. We'll figure something else out. They don't want to. I don't think they want to at all. But I do think at some point you get into a scenario where you're like, if these guys are just absolutely refusing to let this guy go for what the assets are on the table. And by the way, there's no other market out there. There's not. There's no other market out there. You call around the league, ask anybody. There's no one else trying to trade for Aaron. So, I don't know. At some point, you just got to ask yourself, is it better to have two second-rounders, including a second-rounder that could turn into a first-rounder, pending the negotiation of what that would be, how that would graduate? Or is it better to have nothing and just go through however they're going to navigate that $58 million they're going to owe Aaron heading into the regular season? I'm at a loss at this point. I don't know what to say.
Talking with Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports on Wilde and Tausch. You've also got the team president and CEO going on a high school girls basketball game telecast and past tensing Rodgers' career. Right, and when asked about would you be willing to trade Aaron Rodgers, him not even being able to contain his excitement was, oh, yeah! At the same time, a few weeks later, you've got Joe Douglas on stage with Boomer Esiason announcing, oh, he's going to be here. I mean, and what you just said, the Packers, not only do they not get any assets if they keep Aaron Rodgers, they have to pay him $58.3 million. So are you of the belief, even if it's not before the draft, and then God knows what's going to happen if that happens, but if it doesn't happen before the draft, are you still of the belief that eventually it'll happen? Or after all of your coverage of this, are you even getting to the point to go, well, they're shopping Tannehill, maybe this won't actually happen?
I still don't see it. I still think it's 99% happening. Like, I just, because I don't see what the other options are on the table, right? I mean, what, at some point you have to pick up the fifth-year option on Jordan Love, right? Presumably that's going to happen. I've been told that's going to happen. So once you commit to that salary, and then you're going to owe Aaron, $58 million on top of that, it's just, there's no other market out there for him offering any assets. And by the way, you know, like, Aaron, presumably, you'd have to find another team Aaron would be on board with, and he's already clearly on board with the Jets. I just don't know how this doesn't work out. It's inexplicable to me. I think, though, you know, you just have these two sides that are staring at each other, and they're going, well, there's still time to play this game. And I think you're going to butt up against, you know, presuming that Aaron doesn't show up for the workouts on the 17th, it's going to butt up against the draft, and then the Packers are going to be faced with a decision. Well, if we feel like we're really going to do this, even if we don't want to admit it externally or to anybody on the other side of the fence, do we want that asset this year? Do we have to have that second this year to try and help Jordan Love and, you know, just pick up an extra piece? Or are we willing to say, nah, forget it, we can do it after the draft, and those assets will be in future years, and we'll figure that out? That's the first real decision. And then I think post-draft, once you get outside of the draft, which I still think the Jets would do it after the draft. I don't think they mind pushing the assets down the road.
Right.
But once you get out of the draft, then the Jets are sitting there going, let's wait and see what they want to do about OTAs. Like, let's wait and see what they do, you know, once you get full squad minis. Like, what are they going to do with this guy? Are they going to tell him he can't come? Because they can't do that, you know? And how long are they going to drag on? Honestly, how long are they going to drag on Jordan Love? Because I can tell you internally with the Packers, Jordan Love would like to know what's going on. Like, he's hearing all this stuff about how he's going to be the guy and he's taking the reins and, you know, they're starting this whole process. But yet the other guy is still on the roster, right?
Right.
Can you ever be fully sure of what you're being told by the coaching staff if the other guy is still on the roster? And, oh, by the way, they have the same agent. The two players have the same agent. It's just, yeah.
All right, Charles, I know you've got a lot on your plate, so two last things for you. First of all, when we talk about Jordan Love, you obviously talk to a lot more people around the league. The Packers are basing this on 10 snaps against the Eagles late in the game when Rodgers injured his ribs and whatever they saw in practice, which no one else in the league has seen. Do people in the league believe that Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes 2.0? Do they believe he's Mitchell Trubisky 2.0? What's the prevailing thought on him when you talk to people around the league?
I don't think anybody around the league has any idea. I mean, because they're not – well, first off, it's – you know how it is. 31 other teams, it's not really in their field of vision anyway.
Right.
They're like, well, that's not a player. It's coming to our team. We're not keeping track of that. Now, do they talk? Do front offices talk, of course? Do coaches talk? I would say that Matt LaFleur is probably very accurate at the meetings when – he said basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he just was like, cool down the expectations with Jordan Love. Like, there's going to be some patience involved here. I don't think he was lying to anybody. I think that was a pretty clear signal that, like, hey, don't expect the kid to step in, and it's going to be like when Aaron stepped in for Brett, where, you know, all of a sudden it's just going to be, wow, look at this transition, and it's so easy. And another thing, too, I think I'm in a really safe place to presume, not presume. I think I know that part of the reason why the Packers would really love to have that first round asset locked up for sure next year is because they want options in terms of like potentially trading up for a quarterback in the 2024 draft. I think they would like that option on the table in case Jordan goes out there in 2023 and maybe is not nearly as far along as people would hope he is at this point. I think if he goes out there and starts a full season and it's really rough and you've had him for, as you said, 3 years prior, you probably kind of know where this is going with him. You don't see a lot of guys who sit for 3 years, have all that time to develop and then get a full year of snaps and struggle. You don't really see them all of a sudden blossom in year five. That rarely happens.
Charles, would the Jets be up, obviously, if they have a ton of success and are in the AFC Championship game, because we've heard a lot about these conditions and graduation, the Jets would be fine if they have a great season giving the Packers that one. It's just if Aaron gets hurt and the team struggles and they're in a top 10, they're fine giving up that one if it's a late one, not an early. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I think... Absolutely. I think they don't have any issue whatsoever if they see success on the field in 2023. Now, again, that graduation schedule, I still think there's room for negotiation on that. I think right now it's probably a little steep, you know, something along the lines of like, if the Jets appear in the AFC, you know, championship game, my guess is some negotiation could push that to hosting a playoff game, or they advance to the divisional round, something like that, which is probably a little more doable. And by the way, their roster is loaded. Like, I've seen that team up close. I think the offensive line is going to be a heck of a lot better. We'll see how Breece Hall bounces back from injury, but I do think it has a chance to contend with Aaron walking in there and having the familiarity, obviously, right away with Hackett's offense. But they don't have any issue whatsoever, as long as there's some success. I think the thing is, too, that's interesting about this, the Jets are willing to give up that whole idea of the 2025 asset give back. I think if Big Goody called and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll take the two. We'll take your two, but the graduation has to be fairly simple. You make the playoffs, or, you know, hey, if you guys really are aggressive about it, you win a playoff game, right? Then that graduates to a one. But we're not going to give you the 2025 asset give back. So if Aaron retires after the 2023 season, hey, bupkis, we still get your first-round pick. You know what the Jets would say? Let's do it. Absolutely. I don't think they would require that 2025 give back if the Packers would relent on this idea of just having to have the straight shot for Trumpet.
Charles, we appreciate all your time. I did not have as good of an analogy as the guy from the Play Like a Jet podcast about jumping off sides, but we're
good,
thrilled to
it?
Have you. That was really good, right?
That is a good analogy. I got to give that guy credit. That's because that really kind of is what it is right now.
And we can't wait to see you in July at training camp. The girls will be thrilled that you have to come to town because Aaron Rodgers will still be on the roster, and you'll be here covering that madhouse 15 years after the Favre saga.
Cannot rule out that is actually what's going to end up occurring here. So
thanks for educating us, buddy. We appreciate you a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is the fantastic Charles Robinson, fantastic reporter, even better uncle. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
I think I know that part of the reason why the Packers would really love to have that first-round asset locked up for sure next year is because they want options in terms of, like, potentially trading up for a quarterback in the 2024 draft. I think they would like that option on the table in case Jordan goes out there in 2023 and maybe is not nearly as far along as people would hope he is at this point.
That is Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. You get a first-round pick. You go 3-14 this season. You trade up and you take one of those two stud quarterbacks in 2024 at number one or number two. How you like them apples?
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But listening to Charles, and again, you said it before we had him on, dialed in, obviously understands that New York operation up there pretty good. And they are not going to just give in on an unprotected one. But when Charles at the end, why I needed to ask him that was, I think they will give in on if their pick is going to be 22 and up, I think they feel fine giving it to the Packers. And if the Packers don't accept that, I think that's crazy town.
Also, I talked to him yesterday, and he mentioned the pick swap.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
If they can get the conditional one with pick swaps, come on, Goot. Or Murph, or whoever's making that call. Let's get this done. Craig Carton.
That would certainly allow them to dream fearlessly in considering some of their options, but they better insure carefully.
Yes, indeed.
American
and Badger
family.
Fans, even though we've been arguing about Bo or Barry, who is the better coach, we can all agree we've been very fortunate to have a ton of success, and American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game next season during the 2023 year. You and a friend receive pregame, sideline, or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, tons of merch. Going to try to get you guys a vest. love those Badger vests to support your Wisconsin Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. That's amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
We'll continue to discuss what Charles discussed with us to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, which we'll do in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.